Next on the 5 o'clock report.
I won't be stranded. I'm very thankful for that.
It is top priority.
It's a political stunt.
We take what's happening at the southern border very seriously.
It's part of their history.
It's just like respectful to see her.
Now, let's go to the newsroom.
Good afternoon. Thank you very much for joining us. I'm Mark Webster.
I won't be stranded. I'm very thankful for that.
A happy Amtrak rider thankful for a tentative contract deal between rail freight lines and unions, which could have disrupted passenger service and a whole lot more. President Biden also thankful for that tentative deal.
Together, we reached an agreement. You reached an agreement that will keep our critical rail system working and avoid disruptions of our economy.
CBS's Ed O'Keefe says unions were able to negotiate more benefits for their workers.
They were able to get what they call improvement toward life benefits. Agreements were made on time off without penalties, paid personal leave. This is the first time the railroad companies were forced to negotiate or bargain over attendance policies. The issue that many of these railroad workers had is they don't necessarily get paid leave or time off.
Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen might be feeling a bit thankful for the rail deal, too, since a rail strike is about the last thing the U.S. economy needs right now, thanks to continuing high inflation. She tells CBS News it's a critical time.
It is top priority to bring it down. The Federal Reserve bears a key responsibility for addressing the inflation situation.
That rail agreement now heads to union members for a crucial vote. Are illegal immigrants being used as political pawns, and if so, by whom? The answer to that question continues to ride party lines as illegals continue to ride buses and now planes from the southern border to Democrat-controlled cities and states.
It's a political stunt. It's really just disrespectful to humanity.
White House spokeswoman Karine Jean-Pierre denouncing the latest migrant shipments, which included Florida Governor Ron DeSantis sending two plane loads to Tony Martha's Vineyard.
Martha's Vineyard Community Services had 50 people sort of literally walk up to their front door.
Barbara Rush, who works at a church there, DeSantis says, got complaints? Take them to 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue.
We take what's happening at the southern border very seriously, unlike some, and unlike the President of the United States, who has refused to lift a finger to secure that border.
The plan to ship illegal immigrants from Texas to northern cities is working so well that the Democrat mayor of El Paso, Texas, approved spending $2 million on charter buses. Congressman Tony Gonzalez.
You've seen a place like El Paso, extremely liberal, and you've seen them get consumed into this hurricane.
The busing plan in El Paso comes as a response to changes by federal border agents who are now releasing migrants straight into the streets of the border city, over 1,300 asylum seekers now entering El Paso every day. They're standing in line for hours outside of Westminster Hall in London for a chance to pay their respects to the late Queen Elizabeth II. This British mom brought her two young girls.
It's part of their history. It's history. It will never happen again. I gave them the choice and they said yes, they wanted to come.
It's just like respectful to just come and like see her.
CBS's Steve Fardeman got a peek inside Westminster Hall.
It's a beautiful hall with a wood ceiling with a stained glass window at one end. What I found most amazing was how quiet it was. Hardly anyone's talking. You can barely hear a whisper.
Members of the military seen practicing overnight in London for Monday's funeral services for the Queen, which will see 4,500 troops take part in a military parade. The line outside of well-wishers has stretched to more than 4 miles long. In Ukraine, frontline soldiers fresh off of chasing away Russian troops from territory they'd held for months got a surprise visit from Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky. CBS's Deborah Potter.
Ukraine army very best.
It was a boost to troop morale. Ukrainian soldier Nazar, part of the surprise counteroffensive, told us they outmaneuvered Russia, making them believe the action would be in a different region, southern Kherson.
I think it was a part of plan.
You beat the Russians at their own disinformation.
Yes.
Back in Washington, a bipartisan group of senators want Russia to be designated a state sponsor of terrorism. A bill introduced yesterday would impose penalties on Moscow and allow lawsuits in U.S. courts over their invasion of Ukraine. The measure is strongly supported by Ukraine, but has been opposed by the Biden administration. Christians in the U.S. may become a minority religious group by 2070. The Pew Research Center cites a decline in the number of Americans who identify as religious. as well as an increase in those who are changing religions. Pastor Alistair Begg of Cleveland says it's a chance for Christians to speak up.
For me, I need to act bravely by faith just in the everyday events of life, in encountering people where we discover that their view of the world is so vastly different from that which we have come to know as a result of God's grace to us.
Begg tells Family Life,
it involves being brave enough to confront that which isn't true and to speak up for that which is true.
That new Pew report predicts that in 2070, most Americans will be nuns, a term to describe folks with no religious affiliation. Census Bureau out with new data on how the pandemic impacted America.
During the first 2 years of the pandemic, the number of people working from home tripled. Fewer people moved. The number of commuters on public transportation dropped by half. Many unwed couples shared living spaces. Rents soared, and households with computers rose to nearly 95%.
CBS's Cammie McCormick. And work continues in Southern California to help people whose homes were damaged or destroyed by mudslides triggered by flash flooding in mountainous areas. Nicole Duncan fled her home in Oak Glen, Cali. Says her neighbors are going to need some help.
They are homeless right now, and I know that they've got kids, and they're part of our community.
And meanwhile, up north, the mosquito fire in the mountains east of Sacramento is California's largest wildfire this year. It has scorched over 63,000 acres of dry timber, and California Fire says the blaze is only 20% contained and is expected to grow larger as winds push the flames into a critically dry area. Still to come on the 5 o'clock report, former Governor Cuomo hit with another lawsuit, a loan forgiveness program for New York public servants, and from Uganda to northern Pennsylvania.
Hi, I'm Kevin Williams, and here is your Family Life regional weather forecast. For the night tonight, mainly clear, and it will be chilly. Low temperatures generally in the 40s, with a range from the upper 30s, some twin-tier valleys with patchy fog, to the low 50s along the immediate shores of Lake Erie in Ontario. Tomorrow and Saturday, ample sunshine and turning warmer. The high Friday in the 70s, reaching to around 80 degrees then on Saturday.
Thank you, Kevin. Now checking the stories making news where you live across New York and Pennsylvania. The former assistant to ex-Governor Andrew Cuomo is filing a discrimination lawsuit against him.
Charlotte Bennett's lawsuit seeks unspecified damages, with claims that the former governor repeatedly subjected her to humiliating sexual harassment and tried to smear her as a liar when she went public. The suit also naming Cuomo's former top aide, Melissa DeRosa, and two other assistants who allegedly aided and abetted him. Cuomo has denied all allegations against him and also comes on the heels of him filing an ethics complaint against New York's Attorney General in connection with his sexual harassment investigation. Jennifer Pulsoni, NBC News Radio.
Construction complete in North Central New York. Family Life's Tracy Lynn explains.
Governor Kathy Hochul announcing today that builders have wrapped up progress on a $26 million affordable and supportive housing development in Oswego. Lock 7 apartments feature 80 units, including 40 apartments reserved for individuals and families experiencing homelessness. Amenities include Wi-Fi access, laundry facilities, off-street parking, and a computer lab. The units are available for eligible households earning at or below 60% of the area median income. Tracy Lynn, Family Life News.
Thanks, Tracy. The Niagara County Sheriff's Office has announced a new way for residents to get help when they're dealing with an emergency. The Sheriff's Office says that people can now use a text to 911 system that will assist individuals who might not be able to make a phone call. All you have to do is send a regular text message to 911. Moments later, a dispatcher will contact them and ask questions about the nature of their emergency. However, they say the best way for people to provide information to dispatchers is still to call 911 if possible. Governor Kathy Hochul signing legislation to remove barriers surrounding loan forgiveness for New York public servants.
Under the measure, nearly 3 million public employees who work at least 30 hours a week will be eligible for the program after 120 monthly loan payments.
Thank you is nice, but something like this is transformative.
Hochul is launching a campaign to increase enrollment before a federal waiver deadline on October 31st.
We plan on increasing enrollment, decreasing paperwork, the mistakes, the headaches. Let's just wipe that all out.
Since 2007, the program has helped workers in the public sector receive an average of $61,000 in loan forgiveness.
Some are critical of the timing of that program, noting that it's coming as Election Day, more or less than 2 months away. Syracuse University taking action to make it easier for employees to purchase a home that's located near the school. A guaranteed mortgage program that is run through Solvay Bank is available to all part-time professors, full-time professors, and also staff members. Employees can finance up to 100% of a home's purchase price at the bank's best rate. One of the biggest names in country music is going to be performing at the St. Joseph's Amphitheater in Syracuse tonight. Jason Aldean's concert at the popular music venue, scheduled to begin at 7:30 p.m. He'll be joined by fellow stars John Morgan, DJ Silver, and Travis Tritt. The Asthma and Allergy Foundation of America out with its 2022 Asthma Capitals report, listing the worst cities for asthma sufferers, and there are plenty of New York and Pennsylvania cities on it. Among the top 20 worst asthma cities, Allentown, PA, number 3, Harrisburg, 7, Poughkeepsie, New York, number 8, Philadelphia, 9, Albany, 16, and Rochester at number 20. Nationally, Detroit was rated the worst of all, just ahead of Cleveland. An explosive device unexpectedly detonated during a training exercise Thursday at a state prison in Pennsylvania. Authorities said several people were injured. The accident at the Cy Phoenix prison at Skippick Township occurred shortly before 10 a.m. this morning. The training session was being conducted by the FBI's Philadelphia field office. Those in attendance included representatives from several state, county, and local law enforcement agencies. Not immediately clear how many people were hurt, but none of the injuries is said to be life-threatening. And from Africa to northern Pennsylvania.
Rescue One More was founded to provide safety, justice, and healing to children suffering from sexual abuse in Uganda.
That's Pastor Scott Lambie, also a member of the band known as King's Porch. He'll be taking part in a cornhole fundraiser on Saturday at Sawyer Evangelical Church in Brantford, PA.
And then I'm going to be playing with their worship band on Sunday and speaking at the church. And the church's services start at 9:30 a.m.
Lambie and his wife have adopted two children from Uganda. Your nightly market report is up next, brought to you by Ambassador Advisors. Here's Family Life's Dave Margolotti.
After a promising start today, stocks moving lower, retail sales came in higher than expected for the month of August, but analysts are continuing to digest consumer price index numbers from this week as markets await the Federal Reserve's next interest rate hike, which is expected next week. Oil today dropping $3 a barrel, closing at $85 a barrel. The Dow shed 173 points, the S&P 500 fell 44, and the NASDAQ was off by 167. Ambassador Advisors is a Christian financial planning firm helping faithful stewards do more. Online at ambassadoradvisors.com.
All right, thank you, sir. This is the 5 o'clock report on Family Life.
Today, interesting statistics on giving. Hi, I'm Rob West with the MoneyWise Minute. These come from sources such as Giving USA and the Philanthropy Roundtable. We'll start with this one. The average donor age in the U.S. is 65. That suggests churches and ministries need to focus on cultivating younger donors. Two-thirds of households give something during a year, an average of 4% of income. Donations in the U.S. come mostly from individuals, not from foundations or corporations. Foundations give about 15% of donations, corporations less than 5%. Well, statistics may be fascinating, but remember, giving is an affair of the heart. As Christians, we give generously as a loving response to what God has given us. We can help you learn to manage your money according to biblical principles when you download the free MoneyWise app. You'll find it on our website at moneywise.org.
Coming up on the 5 o'clock report, game, set, and match for one of tennis's all-time greats.
I'm Kevin Williams, and here is your Family Life regional weather forecast. A chilly night is upon us, but warmer days are ahead as high pressure pushes off to the east. A southerly breeze will propel warmer air into the region. That'll spell a nice start to the upcoming weekend. Our forecast for the night tonight, mainly clear, and it will be chilly. Low temperatures generally in the 40s, but the range from the upper 30s, some twin-tier valleys with patchy fog, to the low 50s along the immediate shores of Lake Erie in Ontario. Tomorrow and Saturday, ample sunshine and turning warmer. The high Friday in the 70s, reaching to around 80 degrees then on Saturday.
Thank you very much, Kevin. Now, finally at 5, one of the best and best behaved to ever pick up a tennis racket has decided it's time to put it down.
Federer, the season-ending champion supreme.
It's Roger the record breaker.
Indeed, few in tennis history can compare to Roger Federer. King Roger, the Swiss-born phenom, spent over 300 weeks ranked number one in the world, 230 of those consecutively. He won over 100 ATP singles titles, including 20 Grand Slams, third most in tennis history. Those include a record 8 at Wimbledon, 5 U.S. Open titles. He was the least flashy of the so-called Big Three, along with Rafael Nadal and Novak Djokovic, dominating men's tennis for years between them. Besides prolific wins, he was noted for his versatility. As tennis great Jimmy Connors once put it, in an era of specialists, you're either a clay courter, a grass courter, a hard courter, or you're Roger Federer. He also won numerous awards for his calm, gentlemanly behavior at a time when his peers were often throwing tantrums and tennis rackets. The Swiss Maestro, another of his many nicknames, said keeping calm on court was often a big advantage over his easily rattled opponents. He says he's very thankful for all of it.
I consider myself one of the most fortunate people on earth. I was given a special talent to play tennis, and I did it at a level that I never imagined for much longer than I ever thought possible.
After one final event, the Laver Cup in London later this month, the 41-year-old Federer will finally pull back the throttle and spend more time on some other pursuits, including the foundation bearing his name, which aids impoverished children in South Africa. That's one case where Federer's game is love. And that's the world we live in for Thursday, September 15th, 2022. Thank you again for joining us. I'm Mark Webster, Family Life News.